Welcome to Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love. Spoken of by many as one of the greatest living masters of the backflower remedies, he has the oldest ongoing classes with the remedies in the world, 40 years, and has worked with over 100,000 people. He will be showing us how to recognize and heal our shadow side and the emotional baggage we all carry, using the advanced protocols he has developed with the Love Healing System. To learn more, please visit his website at www.drericlove.com for more information. Now, here is our host, Dr. Eric Love.
God bless us all here, and thank you for letting me come into your home. Let's start today healing the heart with a prayer. O Lord, bless us here tonight and speak to us of your healing wonders, the secrets you possess, the grace you send us, the love you give that holds us firm. Reveal to us tonight the secrets of your healing universe, and reveal to us your plan, the great plan, the divine plan, your purpose, and your will, so that we may step into the glorious healing of our life. Well, to begin with, God bless us. I want to, for the FDA, say this disclaimer that this show this has nothing to do with curing, diagnosing, or treating disease. If you have a disease, please go to your medical doctor. Or if you're in a state like Arizona or Washington or Oregon, go to a naturopath and seek treatment. Now, I want to tell you something. When in 1981, Johanna Moravia, and you may have heard me say this before, the Intercase of Europe, a very great psychic, brought 20 of her students over from Norway to study Bach remedies with me. I was very honored. And she gave me a reading one night, and she told me that I was the most depressed person that she had ever met in her entire life. Shocked me. Had a lot of respect for her. A few years later, in 86, my friend Peter used to solve murders for a living. He was a very great psychic. And he told me I was the most depressed person he had ever met in his life. And also the most fearful person that he had ever met. And as I sat in and talked to you, I have no fear. I have no depression. In fact, I'm one of the only people you'll meet who will tell you the answer. Peace inside, I have peace of mind and peace inside my heart. Everything, all the healing begins with peace of mind. I'm a happy person. I have happiness. I'm whole. No fears, worries. I'm strong. I'm healthy. And I have my life work, which is doing the healing, teaching the healing, teaching the remedies. Wild oat is the remedy for life work. And my friend John, who used to be the art director of the Hare Krishna movement in the 60s. It was just so aching because he hated his job, working in an art store as a framer. And I said, dude, you got to take this wild oat and take it for a year. I was leaving town. I said, hey, take this impatience, too. Geez, you look real impatient. I came back a year later. He hated his work. He felt he was dying because he just hated his work. But he took the wild oat. I came back a year later. And he took me, went over to his house for dinner, and he took me in his garage, and there was beautiful paintings and drawing along the walls that were hanging there. And he took me to his desk and gave me an invitation to an art gallery opening in Washington, D.C. And he gave me another one to an art gallery opening in New York City. He had now taken his place as one of the leading visionary artists in the United States. And that's the wild oat remedy. We'll talk about that at a later time. The other thing about me, besides having peace of mind and being a happy camper, is I resolve everything. All my karmas that come up on me, Even when they come up from behind, I get them resolved, and I handle them. Problem is, if all of us were all backlogged, we've got all the stuff we haven't faced, all the stuff we haven't handled, and we're all in denial up to our necks. Three levels of healing. First level, this is painful, and this is real hard for me to talk about, but I got to talk about it. We paid Garcia, God bless him, $28,000 in 1988 money to teach us SAF. It was myself, my wife, and Dr. Carter, who's from Harvard, trained at Harvard. He's a medical doctor. And he set up three chains for Liz and I on the board. Studied him for 5 minutes, turned around, and he said, "Okay, guys, so what kind of drugs are you taking?" I said, "Oh, man, we busted. I smoke." And I had to tell him, and I drink alcohol every night. I drink some champagne every night. My drug of choice. And he proceeded to lecture us for 3 years. He said, "Man, you can't get healed if you're doing drugs. Drugs are going to block your healing. They're going to stop your being able to connect the dots, even though you don't get drunk or anything." Just that little bit of denial thrown in there makes it where you can't heal. So we quit. And I literally started doing SAF once a week. And that took care of it, took care of all my emotional pain that made me want to smoke and drink. I feel so much better now that I'm clean. I have a natural high. I have a natural high. I won't quit. I don't know how to talk about this. Let me just read you a poem I wrote today. And I got scribbles all over the page, so bear with me. Bubbles from a mountain stream. The way you feel when all life's turmoils settled from your face and from your space. The joy of nature's high when you're drug-free. The way the mountain wind whips up around your shoulders and your face. And you can finally feel it. Free this natural high. Such sweet tranquility and drinks of peace when you're drug free. The way you're happy because you face yourself, no longer in denial, in endless natural high, a high of natural life. When you are finally free of smooch and hooch and substances that bring you death of self and force upon you the sudden death of soul. So we'll let that poem talk for itself. Three levels of the mind. When you go into the mind to heal the emotional, the mind, the emotional spiritual conflict, you got your subconscious mind. You got your character defects, which is your block remedies, and you got your underworld ghost river, which is the traumas of your life. Subconscious mind, you become what you think about all day. So you want to train yourself and learn how to get rid of your stinking thinking. From Dr. Joseph Murphy, and I recommend everybody get his book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. Dr. Murphy writes, these affirmations, wealth is mine, success is mine, happiness is mine, harmony is mine, beauty is mine, divine love is mine, abundance is mine. I know you know the answer. Speaking to God, and you will show me the way. Thank you for bringing this about now. God is guiding me now. God knows the answer. I recommend The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, and if you have Audible, type in Dr. Joseph Murphy. You'll see six new books that were just recently released. Each one's 9 hours long. Then we have number two, the character defects. Now we're going deeper into the mind. Subconscious mind just at the top, superficial. The character defects and spiritual defects. Character defects like resentment, like your tendency to worry, your tendency to have low self-esteem, tendency to let people dominate you, or your tendency to go be dominating over other people, control people, suck other people's energy, or draw parasitic people to you, suck your energy. Resentment, hate, bitterness, animosity, fear, those are all character defects. That's what we work on. We do the flower essences. And then spiritual defects, which is part of the same thing, the second level. Bach wrote, the primary diseases of mankind are such things as pride, cruelty, hatred, ignorance, instability, and greed, and selfishness. It's that selfishness, that arrogance that we work on with flower essences. It's like sweet. Really sweet, because you get that crap healed by doing the inner work on yourself. That's the second level. There's a level deeper, hardly anybody knows anything about. The ancient Chinese called it the underworld ghost river. This is the inner child material, traumas of your childhood, traumas of your life, the deep, deep shadow side, the family energy patterns, the gene patterns coming down the generations. Bible says, iniquities of the father visited on the children for the third and fourth generation. Yeah, I'm going to read you a few notes I made from Russ Miller. I recommend everybody get her book called The Body Never Lies. It's all about this underworld ghost. The repression of our suffering destroys our empathy for the suffering of others, because you suppress your feelings, you can't have any empathy toward others. Can't feel their pain. A child must be raised as an obedient robot. That's the way we raise them, at the expense of his soul. Repress memories and deaden your feelings. Repress the memories and deaden your feelings. Breathe life into our frozen emotions. These are just some phrases I picked out today. Never allow it to experience the history, your own history of your childhood, because it's so terrifying. And because they found no one to help them. To reawaken feelings, he will sense the awakening of life within him. Universally ignored childhood traumas, emotional blindness, repression of feelings that renders a person unable to see certain sets of circumstances. If to survive, a child is required to ignore certain things, the chances are that he will be required to ignore those things for the rest of his life. As a child, I had a chance to live my feelings. If as a child I had a chance to live my feelings instead of suppressing them, to express my feelings and stand up for my rights. But interfere with our openness and attention. We had to suppress this fear and to retain pleasant memories of the occasion. The child's consciousness will cling to decades for the beautiful version of that celebration. Retain only the pleasant memories. Oh, I had a wonderful childhood. Oh, my life's been wonderful. Oh, everything is fine. Everything is fine. I think that's what they said when they walked to the gas chambers, and they didn't realize they were a gas chamber until they tried to turn on the water spigots for the showers, and they didn't work, and they realized we are in trouble. Okay. That's denial. And they even had an auto-chanta band playing, band and orchestra playing to keep everybody happy as they marched in. I want to talk about parasitic infestation. We've been going over remedies. We're on the pine this week for guilt. And we've been going over remedies for parasitic infestation. And I was talking to a student about parasitic infestation this week, reading SAF. SAF deals with the emotion much deeper than Bach, and it deals much more effective also. And it deals, it's different because it's dealing directly with the traumas. And it does it through the organ system. So I'm going to go into the two organ systems that deal with parasitic infestation, people taking your power, sucking your energy, dumping their negative crap on you. The first is the stomach. And let me just read about the karma on the stomach. Not being able to dissolve, this can help you understand the parasitic. Not being able to digest, dissolve, and assimilate the events, experiences, and situations, and circumstances, and people of your life that are around you. You figure, well, I might as well digest it because I can't get rid of it. You have to digest what caused you to be unhappy. You try to make it okay. Try to take it in, just digest the other person or digest the situation or what they're saying or what they're doing to you and make it okay. And then I'll just live with it. Be happy. Because you can't do anything about it. You just have to take it in and try to digest it. And then what's happening is all this negative energy inside of you. Have to digest the indigestible situations and take in the other person's negative energy and digest it. People just take your power. They eat you. They eat your energy. Swallow everything people are throwing at you. Have to swallow the negative energy that they're throwing at you. He's dumping and you're digesting, giving away your power. They're swallowing you up. The parasites are eating you. They are consuming you. That's the condition, such as the stomach. Here's digestion. Here's the emotion. Happy. Trying to make the best of it. And be happy. So in other words, the SAF shows you what the patterns are and gives you solutions on that stuff. Trying to make the best of it and be happy. Trying to digest what caused you to be unhappy. Have to work at being happy. Can't be happy in the circumstance, but you're acting happy. Rely on others to tell you when you're happy. Acting happy in the situation because you feel you have to. There was a student I had one time in L.A. He worked as a real estate broker. He is a real estate guy. His broker took all his power and treated him like dirt. Now, this is what he told me. Every Wednesday morning, he would give a motivational speech at a hotel, and 100 or so real estate people would attend. He would put up on the board, that's what he told me, it's mind-blowing. At the beginning, he write on the board, phone, Wednesday, April 5th, 1991, 7:30 a.m., be happy. He told me he was trying to be happy in a situation that was so suppressive, so constrictive, so stifling, so suffocating, so painful for him. It was making him totally miserable. He was trying to digest the box of negative energy. Can't be happy. Live with it. They couldn't. It was making him sick. And he had stomach problems. He was miserable. He told me, I'm so suppressed. I'm in so much emotional pain. But he still wrote on the board, be happy. So the downside of the dysfunctioning stomach is the stomach is like has a recording needle. And on the astral plane, it records these kind of issues that you can't process. The downside is that you get eaten. The parasitic person eats you. You are consumed by them. They eat your energy. They eat you up. And the upside, if the stomach's working properly, digest and assimilate. This means that you can and you are successful in digesting the other person or the situation. You stand in front of a person. And you can digest what they're putting on you, what they're throwing at you. If you can't digest it, then the stomach comes up. Now, that's the first organ that deals with parasitic infestation. The second is the adrenals. And anytime in SAF you have the adrenals come up, organ number 8, warning, big sign, flashing neon light, parasitic infestation, energy vampire, energy thief in the environment. There's a vampire in your environment, and they are secretly taking your power and dumping on you, telling you you're doing something wrong, pointing that finger at you and telling you, the bony finger, telling you something wrong with you or you're doing something wrong. But the condition is capacitance, the capacity to do things and get things done. I got one hand holding these papers here. Theodore Roosevelt told a paper, I'm holding my phone with the other, told a reporter one time, do you know why I can write so many books? because I have capacitance. Capacitance is your ability to get out there and do things done, get things done. Warning. Energy vampire. Energy sucker in your environment. Taking your capacitance. You won't be able to do anything. Just collapse. Now, the emotion associated with the adrenals is courage, warning, energy thief in your environment. A suppressive person is nearby. Now, we talked about you can't get healed if you're doing drugs. Hey, you can't get healed if you have a suppressive person in your environment, sucking your energy. There is a robber in the environment. You draw a suppressive person to you. Someone is taking your energy. Energy drain nearby. You are a coward because you can't handle them. Schwarzkopf, during the Vietnam War, walked into a minefield and picked up an officer and put him on his shoulders and carried him back across the minefield under fire with the bullets flying all around him and carried him back. Saved his life. Now, that is courage. And when you have an energy sucker in your environment, they're going to take all that courage. You're going to be lucky to be able to just function on a daily life. You won't be able to do anything powerful or strong because there's an energy drain nearby. They make you a coward. They make you a coward by stealing your sense of pride and your sense of courage. So you diminish, you decrease, you lessen, you reduce, you dwindle, you shrink, you quail because they overpower you and suppress you. They shame you. They make you feel a sense of shame about yourself. And they take away your pride in yourself. How beautiful you feel about you. And you can't take action, which results in a sense of pride. By shaming you and making you go down, the suppressive person is able to suck the energy right out of you. They are making me, she said, they are making me wrong. And there's something wrong with me. They are shaming me, making me feel shame about myself. Someone is stealing my self-esteem and my sense of value. Lose my essence, my core, my love for myself. They take it away. They are sucking away your courage and your self-esteem by making you feel lesser and lower than them. Not as good as them. Like you're doing something wrong. You are losing your essence and your core, your love for yourself. They take it away. Shame and blame. They do a make wrong on you. They dump through this make wrong. They didn't respect me. They made me wrong. So the downside of dysfunctioning adrenals is shame. They shame you, dishonor you, disrespect you, discredit you, disgrace you, disesteem you. They take away your pride, which is the upside of the functioning adrenals. They take away your pride in yourself. They take away your self-esteem, your respect, and your good feeling about yourself. That's deep stuff, man. Thanks for letting me go over all that. Let me go grab another poem here. Where is the meaning and the joy in her life? Where is the peace inside her heart? The gentle mountain storm moves in across the canyons and the treetops, right outside her cabin walls. She knows the rain will come. She can feel it on her skin, a taste of moisture through her breath. The wood is finally in the fire. The wood is finally in the fire and burning soft and warm. Her deep retreat, her cabin, her escape from all the frenzy and the pressure. Doing this one-handed. Her deep retreat, her cabin, escape and all the frenzy and the pressure of her dirty city world. But inside herself, there is no peace. As turmoil wraps around her neck, her back, the stress that bubbles acid in her blood, timeless hurting of her heart. All these things, her life, her work, the people who are around, though unresolved, not handled, just blaring their discomfort, their disharmony across her bones. Where is the peace that she once had? Where is the calm that comes with living in the stillness and the rightness of herself? The storm begins to move against her little house. The storm and wind now blowing hard against the walls is nothing to the storm inside herself. When can she rest? When can she just relax? When can she stop the running and the trying and the pushing and the ancient hurting and settle in with peace and stillness and find her life, her joy, and toss away the turmoil and the upset and the aching and find the deeper meaning of her breath and simply be and learn to finally be her simple self of truth and calm, unruffled by the sea of storm, within, without, again. Oh, that was deep. Let me go into one other quick subject. Well, if we got time for this. I'll bring the subject up and then we'll talk about it more next week. Everybody thinks it's kind of a superficial thing. Everybody thinks that all you need to do is forgive. You forgive those people did you wrong and you're okay. You forgive your father who sexually abused you. Forgive those people who hurt you and you'll be okay. Well, truth is that that's not the right way about it. Because there's two forgivenesses. The first forgiveness is spiritual forgiveness, and you definitely need that. Because if you want to forgive and forget, because if you have rankling in your mind, animosity and hatred and bitterness, you're not going to be able to do any spiritual development on yourself. You're not going to be able to talk to God. You definitely won't hear when he's talking to you. You're not going to be able to get the messages from the soul. You're going to be disconnected from your spiritual self and your soul unless you have forgive and forget in your heart. Now, number two, emotional, psychological forgiveness. That's different. You have to keep the wounds open. You have to keep the wounds open and fresh because you can't resolve anything unless it's in your face. You can't do processing unless you keep the wound open. You can't work on yourself. You can't work on what you can't heal. Forgiveness in the psychology is a denial system. Look, if a girl comes and she breaks your arm and you forgive her, is that handling your broken arm? No. And if somebody breaks your heart and hurts you really bad in your heart and you forgive them, does that handle your broken heart? No. Most systems of healing then are denial systems. They get you to forgive, they snap their fingers, and you're supposed to believe it's done, you're healed. But you didn't process anything. With processing, you connect the dots. You learn what you're supposed to learn. God gives you situations and conditions because there's something you're supposed to learn there. And in processing, you get what you're supposed to get. You learn what you're supposed to learn. Every experience, every situation is sent to us for God because there's something we're supposed to learn. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to change. We're supposed to become a new person. We're supposed to change into a new person and become wiser and closer to God and more spiritual. But when you forgive and forget, you can't deal with any of those things in your heart and in your emotions. Okay, so I hope that's clear. There's two kinds of forgiveness. Spiritually, you want to forgive and forget. But when it comes to the emotional, you got to keep the wounds open so you can process and not be in denial about who's doing what to you and call it like it is. If they're doing it to you, you got to call it like it is, figure out how to resolve it. If they did things to you and it's still inside of you, you got to call it for what it is and figure out what the solutions are with it through inner work. And that's what we do in my program. I got one quote from Martin Luther King. I'm going to read here at the end of the show. Let me read another poem here. It made me see the truth. I didn't want to know the truth, nor did I want to know the people, what they were doing to me. Now made me feel the longing in my heart for someone who would understand and listen, who would hear and would connect. She didn't want to see the truth and understand the secrets of her heart. Truth so gently spoken, and how she never listened or understood the messages flowing silent on the breeze of desert time. The messages of soul, of inner truth. I think it's better if you listen to the messages within than softly turn away, lying gently to yourself. The sweetness of the lie and the excitement of denial. No deceit when you are lying, whispers to yourself. When you never really listen to the messages spoken deeply from the wells and fountains of the inner self. Beneath the heart, beneath the flowers of the cactus and the brush of desert night. The whispered voices of the desert stars and moons of truth, up from the ancient spring and flowing fountain of your soul. Your truth, the only thing you have that makes you who you really are. Okay. Let's flip over now and talk about, you need to call it for what it is. Let me tell you one more thing. It's too cool. I just clicked on this. Let's see if I can find this. Where is it? I'm looking through my book. If I can't find it in 20 seconds, I'm like, done with this. There it is. Okay. Now, check this out. This dude by the name of Hans Frank. You can look him up on the internet. It'll make your bones run curled. He was the governor general, the head honcho of Poland during the Second World War. According to my research lately, he, sponsored by Hitler, arranged the death of around 6 million Poles. Half of them shot, half of them went to concentration camp. 2-3 million of them were Jews, and he arranged the killing of them all. Now listen to this. Talk about not facing, being in denial, not facing the truth. Unfortunately, these standards from Alice Miller's book, I wonder if I can read, The Body Never Lies. I think you can get it, you know, off the Amazon. Unfortunately, these standards have not changed greatly in the years since. As recently as 1987, journalist Nicholas Frank, who's the son of Hans Frank, remarked in an interview with German magazine Stern that he could never forgive his father for the cruelties he had meted out to him. The public outcry caused by this statement was remarkable. In the war, Frank's father was responsible for the unspeakable sufferings inflicted on very many people. But society expected his son to be indulgent toward this monster. Nicholas Frank received letters saying that the worst thing his father had done was to produce a son like him. We live in a world of denial. Nobody wants to face the truth about themselves, about what's going on. Okay. All that deep philosophy. Let me go over here to the Pine Remedy. Pine's a remedy for guilt. It's one of the... Let me check the time. Anybody want to send me a quick email? medicinewind with a question, dot11@gmail.com. Pine is a remedy for guilt. There's about 9 remedies for parasitic infestation. In other words, they're going to help you put a wall and a shield up around you so people aren't going to suck your energy, take your power, and dump on you. We were talking about pine. Pine is a remedy for guilt. And I told my wonderful engineer, Don, a minute ago that I had a student in L.A. that took my course for 4 months. And it was an in-house course every Wednesday night. She had the worst guilt anybody ever met. And she took a pine for 8 months. She did a lot of work on her inner self, healing the guilt inside of her and working on herself inside. And I met her about 8 months later, and she told me she'd been taking the pine the whole time. She'd been working on herself, on the inside of herself. And she said that pretty much she didn't have any guilt anymore. She was still taking the remedy, she told me, but pretty much all her guilt was gone. And she had the worst guilt of anyone I think I have ever met. And that is called a thorough constitutional transformation. And that's one of the things you want to do with these flower essences. It's taken long enough to get a thorough constitutional transformation. Deep's acting negative character defects on the inside of yourself to resolve those things. So pine has self-criticism, self-reproach. They have guilt, but they're also critical of themselves. They're putting themselves down. They're picking on themselves. They're self-condemnation. His own mind, he is degraded, dishonored, and disgraced. That's in it. That he's always dissatisfied with himself. Self-condemnation. I should be doing something else. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. Not ever do. Or whatever they do is not quite good enough. It's always this or that. Thing is wrong. There's always something wrong about themselves. Either they have people tell them there's something wrong about them, or they feel it just from the dragons inside themselves. He's always first to confess something. It's always his fault. Even if he didn't really do it, he's first to apologize. Never content with their efforts or the results. When I do something, I always feel I could have done better, and I'm never content with my efforts or the results. Hold on a second, I'm getting an email. It's from D. It's probably going to be a nice... Can you use medical pot while using the essences and get healed? Will that also block your healing? Yeah, you know, pot's one of the better of all the psychiatric drugs, but I always recommend to get off the pot because it's going to block your healing. When you smoke pot, and people don't know this, but when you smoke pot, you begin to feel better. And the reason you begin to feel better is because it blocks out the pain that you've got. And one of the first laws of healing is you want to stay with your pain. Don't walk away from your pain. Stay with your pain. Stay in the middle of your pain. Only if you have your pain can you resolve it. Are you living with the wrong woman? Are you working in the wrong job? Do you have the wrong boss? Are you in the wrong church? Have you failed to resolve that sexual abuse from the childhood? Have you failed to resolve the fact that you were in the war in Vietnam and you never worked on it and processed it? Only when you have the pain, as opposed to drugging it away, can you resolve it. So I recommend pain. Feel your pain. Stay with your pain. Don't smoke pot. Now, what happens is that when people take the remedies, God will bless you, and you will process, and you'll lose your desire to smoke pot, and you'll lose your desire to drink alcohol. So I tell everybody, yeah, drink all the alcohol you want, smoke all the pot you want, but take all the drugs you want. Don't worry about it, but take the remedies, because as you take the remedies, you're going to blow those things off. Now you're going to lose the taste for all that stuff. I had the cigarette smokers tell me, say, I don't enjoy the cigarettes anymore. After a while, most of them, well, all of my students, who studied with me do the one-year course. They're all off the cigarette. I had one lady study with me. She said, Dr. Love, there's no way I can quit the alcohol. She drank a bottle of wine every night since she was 16. She was 33. And I said, well, don't worry about it. She said, because there's no way I can quit that. And I said, don't worry about it. In a month, she's down to one glass of wine per night. And in 5 months, she's completely off the alcohol. She said, it was amazing. I remember sitting in front of the Safeway listening to her tell me this. In Flagstaff, Arizona, she said, was amazing because I never tried to get off the alcohol. It just fell away on its own. So then she said, what about my friends? My friends all smoke and drink. I said, well, let's just, you know, see what happened. Well, the next month she was off pot. And then she talked about her friends, and I said, well, let's just see what happens. And then by the end of a year, by the time she's done with my course, all her friends were coming to her, asking her help to heal their emotional complexity and her help to get them off pot and alcohol. That's what she was doing. God bless her. So, yeah, pot, yeah, it's one of the better of the drugs. And it's still going to block your healing. If you're living with one woman, if you're in a job you hate, if you got anxiety inside, you'll never get rid of it as long as you're smoking pot. So that's why I recommend learn to take the remedies, follow the protocols, do it properly, and then slowly you're going to get off all your chemicals. Medical drugs, let the doctor get off them. The guy who put you on the drugs, let him take you off. If you don't have sleep problems, why would you want to take the sleep meds? If you don't have high blood pressure anymore, why would you want to take the high blood pressure medication? You don't have the diabetes anymore, why would you want to do that? Take that. Let the doctor handle all that. We defer to the person who put you on those drugs. Self-condemnation. Something wrong with me. Never content with their efforts or the results. And I think I told you last week about the guy who was a brilliant genius, designed all the push buttons, you know, when you walk across the street and you push the button, go across the street. He designed all that. And he told me everywhere he goes, people throw money at him. And he's a brilliant genius, and he invents stuff for people. But he says, I have never, ever felt satisfied with anything I have ever made, anything I've ever created. I just pick it apart. I feel guilt about it. I feel like I've done something wrong, and it's not good enough. And that's fine. Degraded, dishonored, and disgraced as an entity. And of course, you're going to draw people to you who do that to you, too. I feel I have original sin to bear. It's almost that God doesn't love me. I'm filthy and corrupt with sin. And there's churches that will put that on it. You're bad. You've got the original sin, which is making you a sinner, and you're just a worthless piece of white trash or black trash, depending on what your race is. God bless us all. You will continue to draw people to you who tell you there's something wrong with you and that you have sin or you have faults or whatever until you heal this peace inside yourself. And as a result, people have, and shout out to you, Dee. Thanks for sending that email. As a result, you're going to have low self-esteem. You're going to have low self-esteem, and you're going to have low self-respect, and you're going to have low value and low worth and stuff. Feeling not good enough, I can be replaced in this relationship. I can be replaced in this job. I'm sure because there's somebody else better than me, somebody else just waiting to take my work because they don't feel good enough. Feel inadequate. Feel filthy and cursed with sin. I was raised in a Bible-banging Baptist church, and God bless the Baptist. I don't want to criticize them, but when I was 5 years old, I felt so cursed with sin, and like I was doing so much stuff wrong, I felt the devil was going to come and take me away to hell, and I suffered with that for 6 months to a year. It just tore me to pieces. That was when I was 5. Feel inadequate. Feel filthy and cursed with sin. Feeling not good enough as a person. Too humble, too apologetic. Sometimes kind people will always say that in the conversation, they'll say that they're sorry. Feel inadequate. Inferiority complex. So this is a large field that way, and so does sentry remedy. Feeling inadequate, they're not good enough. Always excusing themselves for their existence, apologizing for themselves. Sadness. They're sad because they don't feel life's working out. They're such an awful person. Unhappy. Despair through self-blame, despondency from the self-approach. High ideals. Now, high ideals means there's a discrepancy. This is interesting. It's like rock water, impatient speech, verbane, and time all have high ideals. There is a, we'll talk about this more as we go along, a discrepancy between the you of who you are and the way things should be. There's always this pressure. They should be different. Things should be different. I should be different. Things should be different. You can't just simply be at peace and be happy with who you are in time. There's this discrepancy. He ignores and stuffs the internal reality of his goodness and strives for the ideal. So high ideals means that you're always striving for an ideal. So it's like all the stress. Things should be this way. Things should be that way. We should move faster. We should have more money. I should have a girlfriend now. I should have a husband now. I should be healthier. And it's okay to want to be married. It's okay to want to be healthier. But this is a toxic thing where you've got these high ideals, this pressure. Things should be done right. But it could be like if you're a perfectionist and everything's got to be perfect. That's out. Vitality zapped by others. So this remedy, you're going to drop parasitic people. You're going to suck your energy. You're going to dump on you because you can't. And get away with it. Pain, the guilt person God, punishing to themselves. Let me read you another point. How do you cover up and bury down the feelings of your heart? Stuff it all away so you can't see, so you don't know, so you can lie unto yourself again. Your pain, your truth, the issues of your heart, to blow away the desert wind, how you deny it. And never have to face yourself or ever have to feel the deeper feelings on the tip of heart, the breath of sand, the gentle breeze of desert night, the way they treat you, the way they make you feel so small, discounted, like a nothing. To your worthlessness. Stepping out across the dark, going nowhere, anywhere, but to have to feel the deep emotions of your life. So we have these buried feelings, and we have learned how to feel from childhood. In the past, we've shot our feelings down. And the feelings are the ticket to get into the deep emotions, to get into the healing. You can't heal the emotional component unless you can feel, because otherwise it's just in your head, trying to figure out stuff in your head. You can't heal through the intellect. You have to go in. Intellect will take you to the doorway. But you got to go in through feeling, and we've been dead. Numb, suppressed, and repressed, and stifled, and suffocated, and strangled in our feelings until our feelings are repressed. And we are amputated people. We think we're cool. You may have two PhDs. You know so much of the subjects you know. Sad it is. You do not know yourself. That's the curse of my society. And no one has any keys. Let me look here. I got more stuff to do, but I can't find it. If I can't find it, I ain't going to read it. That's something really cool. I'll read to you next week. Oh, here it is. A stack of paper, and I'm going through one hand. Martin Luther King, the very last of his speech when he was given the Nobel Peace Prize, I believe he was in Oslo. These are the last two paragraphs of his speech. Check this out. I think Alfred Nobel would understand when I say I accept this award in the spirit of some precious heirloom, which he holds in trust for its own. All those to whom truth is beauty, and beauty, truth. and in whose eyes the beauty of genuine brotherhood and peace. It's more precious than diamonds or silver or gold. Read that again. And in whose eyes the beauty of genuine brotherhood and peace. Brotherhood means we love one another. We want to love one another. Genuine brotherhood and peace. People using one another. People hurting one another. We're building up, getting ready for war. There's war in the family. There's war around us. Everywhere we look. Angry people. And in whose eyes the beauty of genuine brotherhood and peace. And I would say peace inside yourself. It's more precious than diamonds or silver or gold. I'm getting another email. Let me see who this is. Oh. Let's see. God bless you. Call me. Tell me when we're done with the show. Let me read you another poem here. We're going to be running out of time soon. I'm going to be out of poems here. I'll do this. I'm going to do a commercial. I'm going to get out of here. If you could only feel, see, it's our problem. None of us can feel. We're just numb. And if you could only feel the wind across your face, the warmth of desert night, the touch of sand upon your feet, the beating and the deep emotions of your heart. If you could only sense the movement of the stars, the breathing of the moon, the gentle movement of the cosmic wind. If you could only touch your breath, your blood, and know the deeper silence behind your eyes, then you could feel your heart and heal the rancid baggage of the years that you deny. And finally, in the temple of the inner self, to hear the ancient whispers of your soul. So, Let me tell you about my program. My program is a one-year program. We talk by telephone an hour a week. I teach you the remedies by doing that. I sit beside you, hold your hand, and help you go through your own personal healing. You learn the remedies by going through your healing. There's some books you read. I teach you the wonderful SAF. I teach you the wonderful alignment technique. Puts all the bones of the spine into place. In the SAF, and most people say it's the most dramatic healing of their entire life. We give certified homeopath, certified herbalist, certified nutrition consultant, and homeopathic certification in the treatment of animals. And anybody's interested, my phone number 406-585-0774. MedicineWind.11@gmail.com or Dr. Eric Love, DRIC, Dr. Eric Love at DrEricLove.com. You want to get in touch with me and I'll be glad to share with you about the program. Got this wonderful system trying to get out there to the world, trying to get into everybody's homes. And my heart, my hope is that it will eventually come into your home, this wonderful healing system. God bless us all, and thank you for letting me into your home tonight. God bless you.
Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love can be heard every Sunday night here on the BBS Radio Network at 6 p.m. PST and 9 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. please visit his website at www.drericlove.com or call him at 406-585-0774. Thank you for listening.